Welcome to the WJBM Outdoor Show presented by Midwest Tractor Sales in Jerseyville. Today we're coming to you from the WJBM studios in Jerseyville, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I'm Aaron Quillen. I operate Monarch Rivers, where the mission is simple, kill big deer. Rejoining us, we have Colton Wendell, big buck killer, 19 years old. He's got three down over 150. That's just amazing, man.
Yeah, I mean, I would have never guessed it. If you could ask me when I was younger if I would have three by this age, I would say there's no way, but it happened, and I'm glad it did.
Well, you got to keep it going.
I plan on it. I'm going to try to keep the streak going.
Yeah. So to have this type of success, you know, in the last episode you talked about, you know, kind of riding your dad's coattails and watching and observing him. And that's kind of where you learned and were introduced to hunting. But there's a whole lot that goes into it, because it's basically you trying to take out an animal that is wired to survive. And, you know, different aspects, scouting, you know, time of year. Let's talk a little bit about that. What is your, and you may not have broken it down like this, but if you were to look at the calendar and the different months, you know, say starting right now here at the end of March, what are you doing in the woods right now?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So obviously there's season, but as soon as season ends, mid-January, I'm a big shed hunter. I go straight into looking for antlers, and that partially leads to my success, but I have a lot of farms that I don't get to hunt on that I just get to walk for antlers that I pick up. So I do that a lot. That's really just keeps me entertained for these next couple months, because anything deer I love. But I try to pick up sheds on farms that I do have permission to hunt, just to give me an idea that they're staying there. But it's been kind of an odd year. Haven't had much luck this year, but in the past it's helped a little bit. But most of the time I really don't find sheds off the deer I kill. I don't know why, if they just move, and also because of the fact that I don't have giant pieces of property to hunt. They're smaller parcels.
Mm-hmm.
But it's worked well. Picking up sheds, that's helped me learn where the deer are for sure, most of the time, in my opinion. But once it hits that season's over, I'm walking in from anywhere from January to beginning of April looking for antlers. And then after that, a lot of guys get into turkey hunting, but that's kind of my break time. I don't really turkey hunt or do anything else. I just focus on deer, and that's all okay. I do is think about them.
All right. Dreaming about big bucks during turkey season, huh?
Yeah, pretty much for the most part. Kind of just relax these next couple months and start. I'm going to start driving around before super long once I start growing, and just kind of keep an eye on them and see what I can find. But it's really all I do is think about deer.
That's awesome. And then, so when you get into, you know, post April, do you guys do any food plots or anything like that?
Yeah. I don't really do any spring plots for the most part. I'd wait until August, and me and my dad plant, what we can, anywhere from clover to, turnips and rape and all kinds of different seed that's out there to try and attract the deer, to the best of our abilities. But for the most part, usually do smaller plots, acre or less, but really just scouting in the summer and just trying to get an idea where they're at, because they're definitely not going to be as antsy and worried about human interaction in the summer than they are in the fall and winter months. So I use that time to get as dialed in on them as I can.
Okay. And then are you the type to, you know, film them from the car while they're feeding at night, or you do trail cams? How do you keep track of these big bucks?
We run a few trail cameras, probably 10 or less on each farm, probably closer to 6 to 8. But yeah, I'd take a lot of pictures. I don't really do any filming, but I try to get as many pictures as I can, especially even if they're not big, I just like photographing them.
Yeah.
I love everything about them. So just being able to get pictures of them, get as close as I can, especially in those summer months, is cool. And we obviously don't get to hunt them here when they're in velvet. So I think it's just a cool, another way that they look. So that's cool about them. But yeah, trail cameras definitely, I would say, play a major part in my success, because I think it boosts the confidence a little bit and lets you know what's there, as a general idea. And then, like I said earlier, they're a little bit demotivating too, because
yeah,
you know what's there, but they're not always going to be there. So when you're not seeing them, that kind of decreases your confidence. But I'd say cameras are definitely a big part of my arsenal. I like using them and seeing what's out there.
Okay. Do you use a bunch of different types, or is there a brand that you kind of prefer these days?
I really like Brownings, and Lone Wolf Custom Gear makes a pretty cool camera, but I'm not really partial. I kind of use whatever I can get that works.
Okay. All right. And then, do you have any like secrets? Is that how you set them up that you can share with me so I can do a better job as an outfitter?
Nothing crazy. I like to put them over scrapes in the fall, obviously, when they're making them, but in the summer, kind of just put them on trail, and water is probably the biggest thing in the summer when it's hot. They got to have a drink if you want to see what's there. I think water is probably the best option for that, because they got to have a drink. But yeah, water and bed to food crossings, they're always going to be there. So kind of just get an idea where they're crossing from food to the bedding and put it there. And like I said, with water, if you got any kind of water hole, I think that's a great area in the summer.
Okay. And then, do all the farms you hunt have water, or?
I think all the farms have creeks, but the one in particular that I've killed my deer on has a decent sized water hole that I think is helping a little bit.
Okay.
I'm going to try and expand it a little bit this year, give me even more water to drink from. But yeah. Yeah, I think that's helped keep them in a general area. It's kind of in the center of the property, and I just like where it's at. It's kind of a natural water hole, so I mean, figured leave it there, and it worked.
Okay. You know, there's some general rules that I try and follow when I put my trail cams out. I always try and get somewhat of a northern exposure, and that way, you know, it eliminates like the sun photos and stuff like that. But then again, sometimes you just got to face them south and deal with the repercussions. Do you have any tips or tricks that you try and?
In that perspective, I don't do a ton. Like you said, I try to keep them away from the sun as much as I can, but I usually kind of clear the area out a little bit from at least branches and stuff, because that gets annoying getting pictures of leaves nonstop.
Right.
So kind of just clear it out a little bit, but try not to let the deer know you've really disturbed the area too much. Kind of just pick a hidden tree as much as I can from where I think they'll be crossing and put it there, get a good idea where I think they'll be. But yeah, that's, I don't really have any major tips with trail cameras, honestly. But another reason I use them is I just enjoy going with my dad and checking them and just looking at the pictures, whether we got anything big or not. It's something fun to do.
Yeah.
In the summer months while we're waiting for the season to come around.
Cool. Now, we talked about some shed hunting. We talked about some scouting, the trail cams, getting them on scrapes in the fall. You do any like mock scrapes, anything like that?
I don't use anything crazy. I mean, I make my own. I'll kick the dirt up and get it torn up a little bit, and I'm one of those guys, I'll take a pee in it myself. I don't care. I don't know how much it's true. I've heard that it's similar to the most similar to deer urine, so I've never had any issues with it. It's worked for me to get pictures, at least anyways, so I've done that. And I've occasionally used the ropes with the scents on them, but honestly, like real ones better. I'll just snap the branch a little bit if I need to, or find a low hanging branch that's over the edge of a field or on a beat up run, and it usually works pretty good. That's just really all I do.
Okay. One thing that I've picked up made me think, you know, sometimes when we go in and we set up a trail cam, these field edges are so, they go so fast. They crawl out into the field so much that a lot of times those leaves will block your view. And if you go in and you do too much chopping, a lot of times what I found, and I've got a specific buck in mind where we might have trimmed a little too much. He came out and investigated. He was the first deer on a camera, but then he never came back to the camera. And, you know, I'm thinking that we might have put too much scent down. He came and investigated and said, I don't want any part of that, because we never got a picture of that deer from that camera again.
Yeah, I definitely see what you're saying. Knock on wood, I've never really had anything get too scared by it. I've definitely seen them jump and kind of go away, but I think for the most part, I've consistently got them back on camera once I've got them in that spot most of the time. Obviously, there's your random ones that you get one picture of on your whole entire farm, and then you'll never see them again. But for the most part, the deer that I know are there, I usually get several pictures on each camera, and I haven't really had an issue. I mean, I don't wear gloves or anything while I'm going out there, but I try to keep as much of my human scent out of there as possible just to up my odds if I can.
Yeah. Now, when when you're getting your trail cam photos, are you primarily just looking at the bucks, or do you look at the other deer? Is there any other information that you're gathering from those photos?
I don't really focus on does too much, obviously, because it's kind of hard to pinpoint them. But bucks, I definitely keep an eye on just the smaller ones too, just for up and coming seasons if I think it's going to be a good deer the following years, and also just what deer hanging out with what deer. Because this one I killed this past year, he was constantly in the same group of bucks. And the first time I seen him on October 7th, he was with those same three deer that I always got a picture of him with. So just kind of keeping an eye on the deer that he was with helped me, I think, too.
Yeah.
Because I'd get a picture of him, and seconds later, the camera would have a picture of the big one. And it worked out good. So I think kind of those bachelor groups in the summer kind of helped those first week or two of October. But after that, I think it's kind of just hit or miss. You're not really going to have an idea where they're going to be necessarily. But those bachelor groups, I think, are a big help for those first few weeks, like I said.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our sponsors. Welcome back to the WJBM Outdoor Show, presented by Midwest Tractor Sales in Jerseyville. Today, we're coming to you from the WJBM studios in Jerseyville, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I'm Aaron Quillen. I operate Monarch Rivers, where the mission is simple, kill big deer. With us, Colton Wendell, big buck killer. Colton, you were just talking about trail cams and kind of patterning a bachelor group. Your target buck was often seen with two other, bucks, and that was kind of informative to you to understand that he was consistently moving within that bachelor group. Do you have a particular type of year that's your favorite time of year to hunt?
Not really, honestly, because the three that I've killed have really been a mixture. I killed those two this year, October 24th and then November 2nd, but the bigger one I killed 2 years ago was actually December 21st, so it was really late. Kind of just got lucky with that one. But from what I've seen camera-wise, I think those first couple weeks of October definitely could be beneficial if they're staying on that pattern, especially those first couple days, really, if you can get in there. They're just something about them. They stay on that pattern for that first week or two, and then after that, then it's that October lull. But then after that, the rut's obviously awesome. It's cool to see, and I think you have an opportunity to kill a deer or any deer that maybe you might not even know about. But I think if I had one week to pick, it'd probably be that first week in November, just because they're not fully rutted, but they're on the verge of it. And I think you have an opportunity to see the most deer.
Okay. All right. With that, you mentioned last year, you killed a nice one in December. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So that deer we'd had on camera for 2 years. The first year I had him on camera, he was probably 150s, and I knew he was a great deer, and honestly probably would have shot him if I had a chance that year, because that would have been my biggest by far. But I never seen him in person, but got a lot of trail camera pictures of him. And the following year, in the summer, I watched him all summer out in the bean field, and I knew he was an absolute giant. I thought he was pushing 200 when I first seen him. That velvet always makes him look bigger.
Oh, yeah.
But either way, I knew he was a shooter and a giant deer. And he was hanging out with one other buck as well all the time in the summer. But as soon as probably September, he was off a pattern early. So didn't really have much luck. And we got one picture of him early October, and then he was gone the whole season until the very end of November. We got a picture of him out of nowhere, and he wasn't, no tines broken, and he was still the deer that I hoped he was going to be. Couldn't really tell how big he was, but I knew he was definitely a shooter. And it was also a Thursday as well, random day. I slipped into that same stand I killed the first one this year, Thursday evening, like I said, and probably 10 minutes light left. It was so crazy because it was dang near identical situation. 10 minutes of light, seen something coming down the hill, and it was him. So it was almost a month later since we had that last picture of him. He came down the hill. He was getting weary. He knew I was there, but I drew back. He turned, and it was about an 18-yard shot, and I smoked him too, and he died 30 yards. And that's definitely probably going to be the most memorable hunt I've ever had, just because it was a deer that I had a couple years of history with, and I just really wanted to get on him after watching him all summer. And turns out after we took him to the taxidermist, he had been shot in the shoulder, he had a scar, and there was a big old pocket on his shoulder, and there was a piece of arrow stuck in there, and it didn't kill him. So I think he got shot early October and kind of just bedded up the whole season, just trying to heal up. And then he came back out in December, and I was able to have a chance at him.
No kidding. And then was that on a food source, you said?
Yep, it was that same stand on the edge of the corn, but it would have been a bean field that year. So
okay.
It was pretty warm for December 21st. I think it was 40, 50 degrees. But he was just strolling down a big hillside coming out to those cut beans, and I was able to get a shot at him before he got out into the field.
Okay. As we talk about, you know, getting a history with these deer and, you know, having them at a pretty mature basis, and then having a couple years of pictures, are you guys doing anything to age your deer or anything like that?
That first one I killed, I sent the teeth off on that one to a aging company to get it aged, and it came back at 6.5. I wasn't really sure, obviously. There's no way to actually tell, but I thought he was a pretty mature deer, just his size. He had a big body the year before, but he definitely went downhill after getting shot. Once we got those pictures, his body was small, so I didn't really know what happened then.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like I said, he got aged at 6.5, but I thought for sure he was at least a 5.5-year-old. I kind of just a little bit of antler size reference and body. That's why that one I shot this year, that first one, I don't think he was real old. His body was small and he was kind of more pencilly tined, but still a big frame deer. But I kind of just use my best judgment from all the sheds I pick up and kind of have an idea what a 2-year-old is and base it off there what I think a 3-year-old and 4-year-old could be. But once it gets past that 4.5-year-old mark, I don't really have much of an idea of exactly how old they are. But bigger bases, heavier antlers, I feel like are definitely a sign of older age. But I kind of just take my best judgment. And if it's a deer I want to shoot and makes me happy, I'm probably just going to shoot them.
Yeah, yeah. So after this season, your most successful season in the woods, when you look back at it, is there a certain thing that you learned?
And particularly, I'd probably say just another big point on the wind, play the wind. I think it's definitely a big help. But just being out there, just enjoying it, really.
Mm-hmm.
I think confidence is key in everything in life, but especially for deer hunting. So much patience, and you can get down on yourself. Even if you see a deer from far away, you don't get a shot at him, it's nice to see him, but sometimes you can get down on yourself. But I think just have confidence, go out there and just relax, especially when it comes time to take the shot. Just calm yourself down, make a good shot. Better than trying to rush something, and because rushing it and leading to a bad shot is going to make you more upset in the end. So
right.
I think just having confidence out there and just take your time with everything, and just to be safe and have better success, in my opinion, just be confident.
Yeah. So do you get pretty excited when the deer are coming up?
Yeah, I do. I try to calm myself. I get to shaking pretty bad. Got that buck fever. But I try to calm myself down as much as I can, make a good shot, and then that's when I go crazy and call my dad first thing. Yeah. Give him a call. Like I said, he's taught me everything I know, so I always give him the first call and like to let him know and just have him there for support.
What are some of the things you do to stay calm?
I don't know if I can really say there's anything. Just tell myself that if I don't stay calm, then I might not be able to make it happen. I can't let him see me while I'm standing up there shaking like a leaf. So just, I don't know. Once I get the bow drawn back, it definitely helps stabilize myself a little bit. But before that, I don't know, I get that tunnel vision sometimes too, and that makes it even harder. So I don't know if there's really any pluses that I really have. I just try and stay still as much as I can.
All right. Now I'd imagine a bunch of your buddies hunt too.
I don't know, I don't have a ton of friends really. I just stick to myself, honestly. My dad's my best friend. I got a couple buddies who hunt, but none of my friends are really big into deer hunting like me. I got some buddies that are more waterfowl hunters, but
okay,
it's really just me and my dad, honestly.
That's cool. That's cool. You'll always have that.
Yeah, I appreciate it a lot, and I don't know what I'd do without him. I definitely wouldn't. Don't think I'd be a hunter without him. I don't think I would have got to this stage.
Right. Nice. And when we're talking about the different aspects of, you know, a whitetail rut, you know, or the preseason in October, I appreciate you throwing out there the pattern ability and what you're seeing on the trail cams and in the woods and the first you know, week of October or so, and then kind of transition in that pre-rut being your favorite time in November where you feel like the big bucks are starting to come out. Are there any aspects to the fall or the whitetail rut that they kind of stand out as to, hey, this is happening right now, I need to be in the woods for this?
Honestly, I haven't had a ton of opportunities to hunt the rut, and when I have, I haven't seen a ton. So I can't really say a whole bunch on that point, but that first week of November and end of October, I really like, just because I've seen what the cameras have produced for me. It's always been the most and best deer on there that week, and those 2 weeks, really, the end of October, first week of November. But the rut's just kind of unpredictable, honestly. You never know where they're going to be, and they could be moving several miles just to chase a doe. So that part's really hard, honestly. I mean, I think it's obviously important to be out there if you want to try to get on something. And speaking of wind, like we were earlier, I think that if you want to not play the wind, I think the rut would probably be the best time, because they're going to be less worried about a human. They're going to be more worried about chasing a doe than you. So I think it's a good time to go maybe where you wouldn't go earlier season and try to have some luck.
All right. So when the bucks start getting amped up, that's when you want to take your risks.
Yeah, that's what I would say. And that's what I'm going to continue to do and see if it can continue happening.
That's awesome, man. Well, I want to say congratulations again. It's a pretty big feat to walk away with that caliber of a whitetail, and we appreciate you being a part of the contest.
No problem. I appreciate it a lot. Yeah, like I said, being able to kill three of that stature at this age, I would have never guessed it would have happened, but I'm very thankful and blessed for it, and hope I can continue doing it year after year.
Yeah, we look forward to future year, you sitting in the same seat telling us another big buck story.
Well, yes, sir. I appreciate that a lot, and that's going to be my goal. I don't think I'll ever lose the passion for it. I'm going to stay out there and continue, and maybe I can kill one big enough to get back on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. And also a thank you to Outrageous Outdoors for providing this second place gift certificate, $250 to Outrageous. Thanks for supporting the Big Buck Contest, and look forward to next time.
Yes, sir. Thank you guys again, and thanks for all the support.
Thank you.